Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to join you this evening for a special shiur to be held in conjunction with the SOI Sfarim sale. I've chosen as a topic a theme which is in some way related to the Sfarim sale. I read that a number of notable rabbanimas are engaged in book signings for their recently published books. As we speak, a new sefer is being printed in Eretz Yisrael. Will hopefully be ready in time for the next week. It's being published in memory of my late father-in-law, who's the first Yortzeit. Next Thursday. So I thought I would share with you an idea, which is a recurrent theme in that sefer. It's on top of the knowledge of the holidays. And the truth is, although we're going to discuss it only briefly, it's a common theme of three holidays. We find ourselves just about the midpoint in the Jewish calendar between Chanukah and Purim. And we're also coming up on Pesach, a theme we're reading about in the Chumash. As a matter of fact, I'd like to begin with a verse we read this morning, second verse of Parshas B'Shalach. Vayaseh Elokim Esa'am Derech HaMedbor Yam Suf. Literally, it means that Hashem took the people of Israel around in a roundabout way. Yet the rabbis have in the Medrash Rabbah on this pasuk offered a remarkable explanation. It suggests that Vayaseh is not only referring to the fact that Hashem took us around and around in our escape from Egypt, but also to the mitzvah of Haseba, reclining on Pesach. And the rabbis have taught us, Mikan Shafilu Onish Yisrael, even a pauper, Lo Yochal Asher Yaseh, should not recline, should not eat matzah, etc., unless he reclines. So is the Medrash based on the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach. Interestingly, the same phrase is found in the Sefer Pesachim, in the Mishnah of Tzadi Tesem and Beis. And Tosfos explains what's new. Created a person is poor or a person is rich. Tosfos says, you might have thought, Hasevas ani lo chashiva haseva. The ain lo amala hasev. The ain zederech erus. In other words, for a wealthy person to recline on this very heavily padded couch, this demonstrates freedom. For a pauper to recline on a hard bench does not demonstrate freedom. And therefore, you might have thought that a poor person would be exempt from the mitzvah of reclining on this Seder night. That's very nice. As we might have thought. But what is the conclusion? What is the conclusion? Is the conclusion that no, it is considered to be derech eretz, does demonstrate freedom? Or is the conclusion the opposite? That even though it does not demonstrate freedom, he is nonetheless required to recline. That's the question we're posing in the beginning of our shiur this evening. There is a category of mitzvah called Prisumenisa. Prisumenisa is found in the Talmud with respect to all of the three holidays to which we referred earlier. Ner Chanukah, Megillah and Purim, and the four cups of wine on Pesach. In each case, we are taught Prisumenisa, and we are taught that women are obligated. Since it's mostly women in this audience, very appropriate. And the reason that's given is afheim hayu ba'oso anes. The women were involved in the miracle of Hanukkah and of Purim and of Pesach, and therefore they too are obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, Megillah, and the four cups of wine. Tos asks, What about matzah? What about sukkah? We don't find that women are obligated to these mitzvahs because of this point of logic. Sukkah, they're in fact exempt. And matzah, they're obligated for a completely different reason, which I'm not going into right now. So my Rebbe Zichrono Livracha, Rav Soloveitchik, explained that the other mitzvahs, such as matzah, sukkah, tefillin, all refer to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but only as what he called the Zecheliness. It's a remembrance of the mirror. These mitzvahs do not necessarily publicize the mirror. They're not presumenes. I repeat, Zecheliness, but it's not Pirishumanis. The special category of presumenisa, which include women, is limited to these three: Megillah, Nechanika, and the four cups of wine. Interestingly, when the Rambam tells us that on Pesach night we're required to demonstrate chayrus, to demonstrate freedom, he gives two examples: one, four cups of wine, and the second, haseva, reclining. It's no wonder that the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Pesachim, on that Kuf Ches of an Aleph, that a woman, in some cases, is exempt from haseva, but if she is an Isha Chashuva, she's an important woman, then she is obligated in haseva. So says the Talmud, Sefer that Kuf Ches of an Aleph. And the obvious question is why? It's a mitzvah cessation as man drama. Why are women obligated in haseva, even if they are important women? And the answer, of course, is that here too, the concept of presumenisa applies. Presumenisa means demonstrating the miracle, demonstrating freedom. And Rambam says that demonstrating freedom includes not only the four cups of wine, but also reclining. So it stands to reason that women who are obligated in this category called mitzvah of presumenisa would be obligated to fulfill haseva in certain limited circumstances, isha chashuva, as well. Are there any questions before I proceed? This need not be a monologue. It's a shia. Shia means a questions. Okay, I'll proceed until you will hopefully give us some good questions. So the fundamental issue we're going to discuss just very, very briefly this evening is, given the fact we now actually have four mitzvahs, the Gemara has three, we saw a snuck in a fourth. There was Ner Hanukkah, there was Megillah, there was Abachosis, where we are told explicitly the women are obligated with Achim Leilo Sones. These comprise a category of Presumenisa, and with other differences as well. Again, not to go into it in great length, my Rebbe explained that why we make a bracha Sha'asa Nisim on these mitzvahs, which we say on Chanukah, which we say on Purim, which we in effect say on Pesach night, and we say on Sherek Olam. And one is required to spend money, more than one-fifth of his money, for these mitzvahs. We read in that same Mishnah, Tzadi Tesla and Vez Mitzvah, which I referred earlier, Afilu Anishim Yisrael Le'yokol Ash Yosef, Lo Yivchus Lo Me'abakosis Ash Yayin Afilu Benatamcho. You have to give from the soup kitchen to buy wine for Pesach. Why? He's exempt. There's no money. No exemptions. And the Rambam, in fact, derived from this, according to Magen Mishnah, that Chanukah too, have to sell the shirt off your back to light Ner Chanukah. Where do you get that from? You got it from here. What's the connection? They're both presumenis. So it's a whole category. And we sort of introduced into that category from the back door Haseva as well. Haseva, the Rambam says, is also there to demonstrate freedom, as are the four cups of wine. And women are obligated in Haseva if they eat Isha Chashuva, Sofam Lav Kuchas. So the main question for tonight is the obligation of women with respect to these three or four mitzvahs identical to that of men or not? Fair question. Men are obligated, women are obligated. Are the two obligations identical or not? So of course, on a simple level, the simplest answer is yes. That's the easy answer. Why not? Identical. We will demonstrate this evening that this is not necessarily the case. Let's begin with Megillah, since we're only just about a month away from Purim. In the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Megillah, the opinion of Baal Halachos Gedolos is cited. What exactly did the Baal Halachos Gedolos say? Who was obligated to do the Megillah? Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Omer, and even though women are obligated, as we saw, Shanoshim Einam Motzias Es Ha'anoshim. That a woman cannot read the Megillah for a man. Why not? Why not? She can make kiddush for a man. What's going on? So the Baal Halachos Gedolos explains that women are obligated in Shmia, in hearing the Megillah, but men are obligated in Kriya, in reading the Megillah. This sounds like a bunch of words. Hearing, reading, what's the difference? So the Achronim have different interpretations. They throw in Mechias Amalek, and they throw in Hallel, and they throw in different levels of obligation, all this is very difficult. Here's the real answer, if you ask me. This is printed in the upcoming Sefer, Mitzvah Hashem. There's a famous rabbi whose work was known as the Avnei Nezer, the Sefer Chavar Rebbe. He articulates an important and fundamental principle. Pirsumei Nisa, as a category, demands that what we publicize should be available to the general public. If it is the province of scholars, by definition, it's not the first. Aren't that many scholars in the world? So for the Furusan, to be famous, has to be available to everybody. In a month from now, just imagine you stand outside a shul on Purim, and as people are filing out, you ask them, did you fulfill the mitzvah of the Megillah? What will they say? Yes. They'll ask, but you didn't read it either. All they say? Depends. The abbot first will say, but I heard the Megillah. The scholar will say, I read the Megillah. Based on a two-word principle. Who knows what it is? Shomea Kalam. We have a lot of scholars in this room. The average person has no clue. Therefore, what's famous, what's publicized, is that everybody heard the Megillah. That everybody, in effect, read the Megillah is not so famous. Therefore, Pirsume Nisa is only compatible with Shmia. Having said this, we can perhaps suggest, this is different than Avnei Nezer, that women are only obligated, in Shmir means, they're only obligated in the Pirsume Nisa aspect of Megillah. That's called Shmir, as we explained. They're not obligated in the core mitzvah of Megillah, which is called Kriya, I'll make her Megillah. Having said this, if you look at the Rav Yoh, one of the great Rishonim, he comments. This is what the Baal Halachos Gedolos says on Megillah. And I searched, he did a search for computers. I searched the Baha'i to see what he would say about Chanukah and about Harpakosis, and I couldn't find anything. I wonder what he would say there too. I wonder what he'd say there. This implies It is the common thread of all three. This is in contrast to what the Achronim say about Amalek and Halel, the Rabbonans, the Kabbalah has nothing to do with the other two. So here's the answer. Amazingly, in Hilchos Chanukah, where we always assume that women and men have exactly the same obligation, it's a simple interpretation. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say, not that much. The Mishnah Berurah is discussing who is obligated to Ner Chanukah and the nature of the bracha on Ner Chanukah. Isha Madlekas Ner Chanukah, Tafresh Ayin Hesef Gimel, Shafi Chayav Eskosh is obligated as well. Says the Mishnah Berurah, something remarkable. Listen carefully. Isha does not, even if you have what we call Mahadra, everybody lights, women not. Why? This is not a politically correct statement. To have in rak tfelos la'anoshim. It's not secondary to men. Ooh. The imrotos la'havik b'brachos. But if they want to light, they make a bracha. To have it kish'ar mitzvah sasei shazman g'roma shdicholos l'varach. It's like a typical zman g'roma. This is a wonderment. What's zman g'roma? The Gemara tells us it's an exception to zman g'roma. Afen hoyev also an ace. What is the Mishnah Berurah talking about? It seems to be unintelligent. The answer is that a woman only is obligated to pursue a nisa aspect of their chanukah. Just imagine an entire household gathers around and the Baal HaBayis lights their chanukah. That's it, one person. And they say, far out of the room, you ask them, did you fulfill the mitzvah of chanukah? They'll say, yes. They'll say, how? So the average person will say, what do you mean? I saw the candles. The scholar will say, it's Ner Yishuv Esrei. It's only an obligation on one per household. Here too, therefore, it seems to me that the mitzvah of Pirsume Nisa is only the seeing of the candles. Seeing of the candles is the equivalent of hearing the Megillah. Lighting the candles is the equivalent of reading the Megillah. Women are only obligated to pursue a nisa aspect of hearing the Megillah and of seeing the candles. Of course, there's a slight difference over here. In the case of the Megillah, a woman, according to one opinion, may not read the Megillah for a man. In the case of Ner Chanukah, the woman clearly is able to light the Ner for the man. And the reason is, as we just said before, it's Ner Yishuv Esrei. It's not a personal obligation. It's a household obligation. As long as her candle is meaningful, this suffices. Okay. So we started with Purim. We went back to Chanukah. Let's now turn to Pesach. Again, the Gemara tells us that women are obligated to the four cups of wine. Question. Is the obligation the same as that of men? Not the same as that of men. You can't ask the same question for the third time. There's going to be one more. That's it. Let me stop. So the Talmud teaches us in the Set of Psalm, the Kuf Ches on the base, that the four cups of wine have two dimensions. One dimension is drinking the four cups of wine in conjunction with four critical aspects of the Seder. And they are, respectively, you all know, Kiddush, Haggadah, benching, and Challah. What if an individual guzzled down four cups of wine? Says the Gemara, it's called the Rif's text. Yidei Cheirus Yatza, Yidei Arba Kosos Lo Yatza. What does that mean? Oh, you demonstrated freedom, all right. I would say you demonstrated freedom more than I did. I drink four cups of wine over, it takes me a few hours. Okay, guzzle down four cups, you're really free. But Yidei Arba Kosos Lo Yatza. The core mitzvah of avikosos is drinking them in conjunction with kiddush, haggadah, benching, and challah. Someone who drinks inferior wine, but he drinks the inferior wine in the proper order, in conjunction with the four aspects of kiddush, haggadah, benching, and challah. Here the Gemara tells us the opposite. Again, according to the text of the Rif, what does it say? Yote de abacosis, lo yote de chemis. The opposite. He fulfilled the core mitzvah, because the wine is so inferior, he does not demonstrate freedom. Let me ask the most fundamental question. Are women obligated in the Haggadah? You haven't gotten there. The Haggadah, the most important mitzvah. Three opinions. Obligated by Torah law, Sefer Chinuch. Why is that? The Minchas Chinuch asks. It's a Zman Grama. If you ask me, the Chinuch derived it from these Talmudic statements. That there exists a new category called Presume Nisa, in which women are obligated. Where did they get it from? Where did they get it from? A new category? You have a principle called the Tikkun Rabbanu Kein Doraisa Tikkun. Our rabbis pattern themselves after Torah laws. So the Chinuch derived from here that the paradigm for these three rabbinical laws, four, is the Torah obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's his opinion. Others say, no, it's only a rabbinical obligation for a woman to recite the Haggadah. Yet others say, she's completely exempt. Exempt. Totally exempt. Zman Grama. The Bruker Yosef quotes his opinion and asks an obvious question. If she's exempt, how can it be that a woman is obligated with four cups of wine? One of the cups is related to the Haggadah. Excellent question. The answer you can find by now, you get my drift. You can predict my answer. Women are only obligated in the presume nisa aspect of our causes. If a woman gulls down four cups of wine, she fulfills her obligation. For men, they have an additional core mitzvah, which is drinking the four cups in conjunction with kiddush, haggadah, benching, and challah. Woman is exempt from that. That's the core bits of Zman Grama. It's not the presume nisa aspect. Okay. Having said all this, I'm about to conclude my shiur by going back to the beginning. We start the shiur by saying that this is not only a theme in the upcoming sefer, which will hopefully be out by next week. Not only is it connected to Chanukah and Purim, and with the midpoint between them, and the upcoming Pesach, but it also relates to this week's parsha. Let's go back to the beginning. Vayasev Elokim Esahom Derech HaMidbar Yamsum. Rabbis and Benish tell us, we read this morning, Mikan Shafi L'Oni Shavi Yisrael L'Yochel HaShayasev. Even a poor person should not eat the matzah on Pesach night unless he actually reclines. And Tosfos said, back to the beginning, Tosfos said, test in the base, you thought you would think not, because it is not derech eretz. The answer is, you have to recline anyway. And I asked the question at the very beginning, why? Is it because it really is eretz? Well, no! Even if it's not eretz, You have to recline anyway. Well, you can guess by now, it's the latter. You have to recline anyway. And why do you have to recline anyway? After all, it does not demonstrate freedom. You're a poor man. You're going to recline on a hard bench. The answer is, here too, there's a core mitzvah, and then there's a presuming nisa aspect of it. What is the core mitzvah? What my Rebbe called Zechel Neis. And what's the source? The Medrash we quote. Vayaseh Elokim Esau, Derech HaMikvah Yasuf. Reclining is a commemoration of the miracles that Hashem performed. Yes, there's an additional aspect of Prisumanisa. Rambam calls it to demonstrate Laharos, Chayus, that you're free. That's not the core mitzvah. This being the case, we follow the pattern of the Gemara and of Chanukah and of Arba Kosos. Guess what? Women, according to my analysis, are only obligated in the what? Pursue by Nisa aspect of Haseva, demonstrating freedom, but not in the Zechel, the next aspect. Not in the commemoration aspect, which is the core mitzvah, which is the mitzvah Haseh, Shazman, Grum. Any questions on Paul before I get to my final punchline? Still no questions. Okay. Here's the punchline of the shiur. The laws of Haseva are recorded in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach. Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows. Isha eina tzricha haseva, elam ken hi chashuva. The Gemara, the Chesed and Aleph. Important women are required to recline, says the Rambam. This will resonate. V'chol hanashim shalanu mikri chashuvos. All the women today are considered important. I'll second the motion. The reason for it? In Talmudic times, the women were more subservient to men. We're not going into the sociology, but that's a bottom line. Nonetheless, here's the punchline. Ach lo nagu lahasev ki samcho al divrei rabia. We mentioned his name earlier, the rabia. The kasa the disman hazeh ein lahasev. The rabia said, no one should recline nowadays. So the women rely on the rabbi. I'll ask you an obvious question. If women are all important and their obligation of a saver is the same as that of men, why is it that women rely upon the rabbi, but men do not? Here's my final answer. Haseva has two aspects. Zechel Neis, commemorating a miracle, which is as true now as it was then. And Pursumia Nisa, publicizing the miracle. Publicizing the miracle only applied in times when free men would recline. Perhaps we saw some depictions of Rome when the emperors would recline on their couches, that's how they would eat, to demonstrate how free they were. Now no one reclines anymore. So the Rav Yoh maintains Haseva is a one-dimensional mitzvah. All it is pirsum ha'nes. And therefore today, when it doesn't demonstrate anything, there's no point in anyone reclining. We reject this. We believe, as my entire shiur has been suggesting, in two din, that's brisker analysis. There are two din. There is the pirsum ha'nes, and there's also the core mitzvah. Right? What was the core? It was the reading of the Megillah, and it was the lighting of the Chanukah, and it was the establishing the four cups over the four brachas. And here it is in the Haseba as a Zecher Ness. The Medrash of this week's parsha by Yasef. Therefore, we men continue to recline, even as we accept the Rabbi's logic. His logic only serves to undo the obligation which existed in Talmudic times to demonstrate freedom by reclining. Today, no longer demonstrates freedom. What's the point? But it's an additional dimension, zeichelenes, that applies still today. Something you don't do every day of the week, do on a pace that it demonstrates freedom, not demonstrates, it recalls freedom, it commemorates freedom, and therefore we're required to do it. However, women, as we said before, already this is the fourth time, the women are only obligated in pursuing this aspect. But they're not obligated in the core mitzvah, which is a man gerama, so they don't recline. They don't recline for pirsum, because there's no more pirsum nowadays. And they don't recline for zecher, because they're exempt from zecher. It's a man gerama. To summarize, we have discussed this evening four separate and distinct mitzvahs: Ner Chanukah, Megillah, Arba Kolchos, and Haseba. In each case, there's Pesum and Nisa. In three, it says explicitly in the Talmud, Afen Ha'yavosu Anes, women are obligated. In the fourth, it says they're obligated without giving a reason. But the Rambam says it's demonstrating Cheres akin to Arba Kolchos, so that we put that in with the other three. In each and every case, we found that one of certain opinions, not all, to be sure, the distinction between women and men. Women are obligated in Shmiya of the Megillah and not in Kriya. As per the Avraham, this means they're obligated in the Pesuminisa aspect, but not in the core aspect, which is not Rama. In Chanukah, they're obligated in Ri'iya, seeing, which is the Pesuminisa aspect, but not necessarily writing. With respect to the four cups of wine, they're obligated in the drinking aspect, even if you drink it four at one shot, but not in the cedar a la coast, in the core mitzvah of linking the four cups of wine to the four brachas of the Seder night. And so, to the respect of our Savior, they're obligated in the pursuinisa aspect, the demonstration of freedom, but not in the zecher, the core mitzvah of the commemoration of the miracle. And here's where the fourth one differs from the other three. The first three, the Pesumei Nisa aspect remains intact to this very day. Tavshin Ayin, still intact. However, with respect to Haseba, as the Rav Yoh explains so beautifully, the Pesumei Nisa aspect no longer applies because we don't recline to demonstrate our freedom. Therefore, women are exempted from Haseba completely, whereas men are obligated because of the Zecher Ames core mitzvah aspect. Thank you very much for listening.